Before I will pray, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words we hear are your words, not my words. Open our hearts and our ears to hear what you want to speak to each one of us. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us now. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. How has Lent been for you so far? Has your faith grown, been strengthened, tested, or all of the above? As we come towards the end of Lent and the start of Holy Week, today is Palm Sunday, when we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. In looking at our gospel reading in John, tradition tells us that this is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But if you compare it with other gospels and read certain commentaries about this passage, it can seem quite different. One commentary talks about another triumphal entry of Pontius Pilate at the other end of Jerusalem, with all the pomp and regalia that went with it, showing military power and strength. Quite different to Jesus' entry on a donkey. Verses 12 and 13 of the gospel reading state that a great crowd had come for the Passover festival. They heard that Jesus was on his way and exclaimed him as king. The Jews and the people in the crowd were eagerly waiting for a leader and for the Messiah who'd fulfill their dreams and expectations. The words in verse 13 of our gospel reading come from Psalm 118, which were messianic verses that were also used for the festival. Hosanna means save, save us now, please. The Jews hoped that Jesus was the kind of savior, the kind of Messiah that they were looking for and looking to follow. They hoped for someone stronger than Pilate to drive out the Romans of Israel. And verse 17 mentions that they had seen the raising of Lazarus shortly before. So they saw Jesus' miracles and how he had broken the bonds of death. So they were full of expectation and hope. Unfortunately, though, days later, people in those crowds would not be hailing Jesus as king, but shouting with others for his crucifixion. So this event was therefore quite confusing for the crowd and even for the disciples, because they didn't fully understand all this or what type of king or savior Jesus was until the resurrection. And this is what it states in verse 16. I'm nevertheless encouraged by this verse because it reminds us that even today, we cannot understand everything straight away. But the Lord shows us in due time. Now, there's a lot in these first few verses. Well, there's a lot in the whole passage. But the point I'd like to focus on this part of the reading is, who are we following? Who do we want to follow? The crowd, the world, or Jesus? And in order to perhaps answer this question, we need to be clear about what kind of king, leader, savior Jesus is. Verses 14 and 15 of our gospel reading give us a clue as to what type of king Jesus is to follow. Verse 15 comes from Zechariah 9. Instead of riding into Jerusalem on a chariot with a huge cortege of horses, as any Roman leader would have done, Jesus chose to ride in on a donkey. And this was not only to fulfill Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah, but also to show the type of king he was, a servant king. And this was a symbol of his humility. This is also reiterated in our passage in Philippians. This is what Christ chose for us. instead of using his divine nature to his own advantage or to have an easy life, Jesus gave up his right and chose to forgo his divine power to be human. He then goes even further in choosing death on a cross, a humiliating, painful death, where he is separated from his Father. This ultimate sacrifice for us. Now, in our time, nowadays, and on social media, we can follow everyone in the world, but it is different to following Jesus. People are yearning to follow or be followed. And who we follow determines a bit how we act and what is important to us, where our focus is. We often follow leaders we can identify with and are inspired by. We could perhaps tend to follow the powerful, the rich, the successful, the good-looking, intelligent type people, more than people who live simply, who have no Instagram, no Facebook or other social media account, or who ride donkeys. But let's not be mistaken. Jesus was not weak or a passive victim because he made his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey or because he lived simply. Instead, Jesus is a strong leader as he chooses to serve others instead of competing and trying to gain power and control. Jesus knew his power. He was the Lord's and the God's anointed. He was riding to the throne which God had given him. Jesus chooses his mission. He lays down his life for us, showing us who God is and how God acts. Look at the power in verse 27, where Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus chose love over power and might. This summarizes our struggles as followers of Jesus. We want to be saved, but we are challenged by the humility. And this is where it goes further and gets even more difficult. If we are to follow Jesus, we are to give up our earthly desires and control to God. This is what Jesus talks about in verses 25 to 27 of our gospel reading, when he says, "The man who loves his life will lose it, and the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, this doesn't mean that we should be careless or destructive of the life God has given us. But it means perhaps that we should put aside striving for security, advantage, or pleasure, transferring instead control to Christ to bring us eternal life and joy. Now, the answer is right there if we are to follow God. But it was perhaps confusing, though, for Jesus' followers, as it is for us now, because glory was about power and control, not about death, and certainly not choosing to lose our life. So if, in responding to the first point of who we choose to follow, who we're following, we decide to follow Jesus, this is the mindset we are called to follow. This is so not easy. We know the theory, we see the theory, but it's difficult to put it into practice. Well, definitely for me anyway. It's hard to give up our rights and our life. especially when we can often feel we've earned them. But that is just what Jesus did. Jesus gave control, and through doing that, had the power to defeat death and save us. Hallelujah. But this is immensely challenging, especially during this time of COVID, with so much uncertainty and stress. We perhaps want to hold on to the control that we do have. What if we didn't? What if we thought about giving up control of one aspect of our lives and trusted God instead this Holy Week by asking God to guide us what to do and spend quiet time listening to God, not ourselves and what we think is best? We can always try it and see what happens. The second key point I'd like to make is therefore to serve. If we choose to follow Christ and be like-minded, we are to serve others, as Paul was encouraging the Philippians to do in our second reading. True service involves humility, like Christ. Corrie ten Boom was once asked if it were difficult for her to remain humble. Her reply was simple. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments on the road and singing praises, do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of that donkey that any of that was for him? She continued, if I can be the donkey on which Jesus Christ rides in his glory, I give him all the praise and all the honor. This is very powerful, especially when you know what Corrie ten Boom and her family went through in saving lives during the Second World War and following Jesus when it was so painful and hard to do so. I highly recommend the book she wrote called The Hiding Place, which is the biography of her life during the war. It has so many examples of service, of humility, of giving up control to God and choosing Jesus, even when it clearly meant suffering and sometimes death. So in order for us to remain humble and give glory to God, we could perhaps ask ourselves as a church, does our life together reflect the same mindset as Jesus Christ? Are we looking to the interests of others rather than our own interests? Are humility and servanthood evident among us? Having the mind of Christ ought to shape not only our life as a congregation, but our relationship with each other and our community here in Versailles or Gif-sur-Yvette, and in France, in the world. Now, it's easy to serve when we get recognition or to serve people with high standing or success in the worldview or people we like. But that's not the point here. Jesus died for everyone, each one of us. He was the suffering servant for all, including the poor, the outcasts, the less fortunate, and even the people we find annoying. That's the point. To be united together to serve and help anyone we can. Now, I find that the solution to following Jesus and serving like Jesus, even though difficult in practice, is quite simple to get there. It's to focus on Jesus and take the focus away from ourselves. Whether it's talking about our achievements or building up ourselves, or seeking attention to ourselves. None of this is perhaps Christ-like. And I like to think of it as like a spotlight to guide my focus. Like the cross behind me, which is bigger than anything in this church and in the place with the light coming down on it. We're drawn to this cross But when we put the light on ourselves, our focus changes and the cross is not so apparent. Verses 9 to 11 of the Philippians readings shows that this is the right path in God's eyes. God exalted Jesus to the highest place, and everyone should acknowledge Jesus is Lord, and in doing that, keep the focus on Jesus, not on ourselves. We also saw this, didn't we, in the sermon series on David. When David lost his focus on God and focused on himself and his selfish desires, that's when he sinned with tragic consequences. But when David focused on God and followed God, he was blessed and anointed as king. A great example of this focus is our mission partners who serve others in difficult situations without fame or glory, who are not self-seeking, but give glory to God. Or all the doctors and health workers who are helping everybody now during COVID. Or the people working for charities, or those helping the homeless and those in need. Or even each one of us, when perhaps we could give a room for the night for people without a place to sleep, or we talk to people who are lonely and include them, or we care for those who are sick and reach out and pray with people. When we identify with the lowly, and forego our pride and give ourselves away in humble service to a suffering world, we honour the name that is above every name. And for me, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Verses 35 to 37 of our gospel reading show us that we can let Jesus' light shine through us so that we can become children of the light whose experience of God's grace and mercy has changed us as we follow him. So if we think that death has the last word, it doesn't. God does. God's word is love. The love that Jesus has shown and that will help us in our efforts to put hope into action. We change more as we follow Jesus and walk in the resurrection light, as we let faith and trust in Christ lead our way. Then our lives can bear fruit and bring glory to his name. So finally, in remembering that we're in Holy Week, that last key point I'd like to make is to share this message, to let our light shine and share the joy we have in following our Saviour, our humble servant King, Jesus. Amen.
Our next song takes up that theme of following the servant king. This Graham Kendrick song has become a classic over time and it encapsulates that message entirely.
Would you like to stand?